sports fans in the house today, I got to put my hand down. I ain't going to lie, in church, I don't care for sports. I'd rather watch the hot now sign at Krispy Kreme than watch football on Sunday morning. But I do love a good underdog story. Anybody love a good underdog story? I think that's a big part of American culture. We love the underdogs. We love people who win despite unsurmountable odds that were against them. And in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us one of the greatest underdog stories in all of human history. It tells us of how the Israelites were set free from slavery to the Egyptians. Because in one night, a group of unarmed slaves defeated the greatest superpower in the world without fighting a battle or lifting a finger. They defeated Pharaoh and they took the spoils of Egypt with them. I don't know about you, I think that's the greatest underdog story I've ever heard. It's an incredible story, it's a miraculous story, and believe it or not, this story has great meaning for you and for me. The book of Exodus begins with the people of God living in slavery to the Egyptians. But understand this, they had not arrived into Egypt as slaves. In fact, Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, was the viceroy of Egypt. He was the second in command, the manager of the entire nation. They came as influential people, but the Israelites fell out of favor. And that story is found in Exodus chapter 1. It says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.'" The Egyptians enslaved them because they were afraid of them. They are more and they are mightier. Child of God, you are more and you are mightier than the enemy. Pharaoh said, "They're more and they're mightier than we are. Come and let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and in the event of war, they join with our enemies and fight against us." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with vigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. So the Egyptians, for fear of the Israelites, enslaved them, and the people of God in Exodus chapter 1 are trapped in a foreign nation living in shackles. Listen to me this morning. No human being was ever created to be a slave. God never created anybody for slavery. God created us all for freedom. That's why there is a longing deep down inside of every human heart to be free. Sometimes your heart understands what your mind cannot figure out, because your heart knows that you have a maker and a creator, and God created you to live a life of freedom. God made you to be free. But in Exodus chapter 1, God's people were not free. They were living in bondage to the Egyptians. And the Bible says that the Egyptians set taskmasters over them, and they dealt harshly with them, and they abused them, and they beat them, and they forced them to work. Life was very bitter for the people of Israel. They suffered. They had very little return on their labor. They had no freedom over their own lives. They were working and somebody else was benefiting from their labor. They had no freedom. They were suffering. They were beaten. They were abused. They were living in slavery and they were miserable. And that's a picture for us. It's a picture of the invisible reality of sin. Just like the Israelites of Exodus chapter 12, we were all born into slavery. We were born into this world. We were born into slavery of sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all born with this issue of sin, whether it's bitterness or anger or hatred or fear. No matter what it is, sin afflicts every person. People born into this world are born into the slavery of sin, and because of that, life is hard. There are disappointments, there are betrayals, there are difficulties, there are pain. People say, well, how can a good God let so many bad things happen to this world? Let me tell you something. It's not God. It's a problem called sin. We live in a fallen world that has been marked by sin and by suffering. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. I am so thankful that that's not the God that I serve anymore, because the God I serve came to bring life and life more abundantly. And where the Spirit of my God is, there is freedom and liberty. As children of God, we don't have to live in slavery anymore. But I want you to understand that we're all born into slavery to sin. And people who are in bondage to sin will try to find relief any way they can. Drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is, you name it. People try to find relief from the burden of their taskmaster, and no matter how much relief you try to find, the worse off you become. Because sin will rob you of everything you hold dear. And here in Exodus chapter 1, the Israelites, the people of God who were created for freedom, the people who were created to rule the land, the people who were created to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, those very people were living in the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And the Bible says that God heard their prayers. God heard the prayers of the people, and he sent a man named Moses. And Moses walks up to Pharaoh and knocks on his door. Says, Pharaoh, let my people go. He walked in there, threw open the doors, had his entourage behind him. They had some theme music playing on their shoulder. He said, you're going to let my people go. And Pharaoh looked at him and said, no. Moses said, you don't understand. The Lord said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? He's not my God. I'm not going to let them go. So what does God do? He sends plagues on the nation of Egypt. God warns the Israelites about what's getting ready to happen. In Exodus chapter 12, God commands every household of Israel to sacrifice a lamb on the 14th day of the month and to take the blood of the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost of their home. Think about that. You got the doorpost of the house. Just picture that with me. And they take a hyssop branch and they dip it in the blood. And it says to apply the blood to the side post and then to the top. So they dip it in blood. They go this side. They go that side. They go up. And the blood comes dripping down. Y'all see that? This side. Then that side, then the top, the blood comes dripping down. Verse 11, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. I love this. They had been bound 400 years, and God told them, tonight when you pray, put your running shoes on. I love how Elijah prayed on the mountain, because he would pray, and every time he would pray, he would send a servant to go look, because he was expecting God to do what he was asking him to do. Oh, what kind of church would this be if we would pray like that? Come on. Whoa, whoa. What would your house be like if you started praying and looking? What would happen if you were believing God for a car and you went ahead and called your insurance agent and said, I want to just let you know I'm about to add a vehicle to my policy. Well, what kind is it? I don't know yet. What's the VIN number? I don't know yet. Where are you going to get it from? I don't know yet, but I'm just letting you know I'm getting ready, because I'm praying and I've got my belt on and I've got my staff in my hand. God said, when you pray tonight, you better get ready to move, because I am going to give you the petition you have asked of me. He said, tonight I will strike the firstborn of the land, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Notice what God said. He said, I will execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. God sent 10 plagues that corresponded with 10 Egyptian gods. Every one of those plagues, it was not just a judgment on Pharaoh, it was a judgment on the pagan gods of the Egyptians. They worshiped the Nile River, so what did God do? He turned the Nile to blood. They worshipped a frog goddess, so what did he do? He sent frogs into the land. They worshipped the god of the dust of the earth, so what did God do? He struck the dust of the earth with lice and came and tormented them. They worshipped Amun-Ra, who had the head of an insect, and what did God do? He plagued the land with flies. 10 plagues, 10 false gods. He said, I'm going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt, those demonic powers that have bound you and oppressed you. I am coming after them tonight. 10 plagues for 10 gods. And with every plague, God demonstrated that he is greater than the gods of Egypt. He is greater than those pagan gods that they worshiped, because it was right there where they worshiped these pagan gods that God would come in and say, I'm going to prove that they are powerless to do anything against me. And every time God sent a plague, Moses comes knocking on Pharaoh's door. Moses, he says, Pharaoh, you've seen what God is doing. Let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. Okay. Good luck tonight, because another plague is coming. God sends a plague. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let him go. I'm not going to let him go. Okay. But another plague is coming. And he said, another plague comes. The land is devastated. The people crying out. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. I'm not going to do it. Well, another plague is coming. Time and time again, and now the Egyptians, the people of Egypt, are miserable, they're fed up, and still the answer is no. But in Exodus chapter 12 comes the final judgment on the gods of Egypt. God tells the Israelites, he says, Moses, call the assembly of the people together and let them know that tonight is the night where I break the power of Egypt forever. 10 plagues of judgment, 10 gods of Egypt. Who was the greatest of false gods of Egypt? Was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh was worshipped as a god, and his son was worshipped as a god. And that would be the final judgment of God on the nation of Egypt. This final judgment would strike at the heart of their idolatry. And Pharaoh, the firstborn son, the heir to the throne, who was worshipped as a god, would be destroyed. Moses called the people together and told them every household is to take a lamb. He said in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. No spot, no blemish. A male of the first year from the sheep or the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. They shall take the blood, put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the firstborn son in my house, I would be volunteering to help with some household chores. Anybody else? I'd be like, Daddy, you gonna let me help, right? Because I've got a lot to lose if we don't do this right. I would be going out to the herds and I'd be looking at all the sheep. And here comes Daddy carrying the lamb in the house. So hold on a minute. I think I see a spot. You better take that one back. I'd be like, don't be bringing no sick goat up in here. No, it's got to be spotless. It's got to be perfect. And I think that some of their Egyptian neighbors saw them inspecting the lamb. Because the Bible says that some of the Egyptians did this too. You see, when you're serving God, you can't give it to yourself. See, the blood, if this was us today, we'd be putting a little bit of cute blood on the inside of the door saying, isn't that nice, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I love Jesus, but don't nobody in my neighborhood know. This was a visible, outward manifestation. It was a bold statement that the blood of the Lamb has been applied here. You see, they put the blood on the doorpost and then they ate the lamb on the inside. And that is a model of what the Christian faith should be for you and me. What's on the outside should line up with what's on the inside. Some of the Egyptians saw what the Israelites did and they did it too. Listen, this promise was for everybody who applied the blood of the lamb. They had life through the death of the lamb. I want you to think about that. The Israelites in Exodus chapter 12, they got saved the exact same way that we get saved. Through faith in the blood of the lamb. God said, when I see the blood, I won't allow the destroyer to come in. The Bible says that night there were cries through every household of Egypt. Cries of sorrow, crying out in the night. Cries of mourning, cries of pain. And Pharaoh says, Moses, get out. I don't ever want to see you or any of the Israelites again. Leave immediately. And in a single night, the whole nation of Israel was set free from the bondage of slavery. I want to submit to you that God can do in a moment what man cannot accomplish in a lifetime. God can do in a single moment through the blood of Jesus what man can strive to do and never attain his whole life. That is the power of the blood of the Lamb. In a single night, God set the nation free. And this is what the Bible says. Not one of them came out of Egypt weak. Think about who we're talking about. They were enslaved. They were beaten on a daily basis. But the Bible says that not one of them, there was not a broken bone, there was not a limp, there was not a hint of arthritis, there was no sickness, there was no disease. Every one of them, when they came out of Egypt, they came out healed. Psalm 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not only were they saved by the blood of the Lamb, but they were healed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus purchased your healing at the cross. He saved you from death and redeemed you from sickness and disease. And on top of all that, God provided everything they needed. Look at verse 35 of Exodus 12. It says, the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted him what they requested, and they plundered Egypt. There is salvation in the blood. There is freedom in the blood. There is healing in the blood. And there is provision in the blood. My Bible says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if you get saved, you're going to be rich and be a multimillionaire. But I will tell you this. There is nothing spiritual about being poor and busted and broken down all the time. If the only thing that's holding your engine in your car is a Christian bumper sticker, then maybe you need to get a hold of this, that our God loves to provide for his children. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. God will provide. There is life in the blood. There is freedom in the blood. There is healing in the blood. There is provision in the blood. You say, what does this have to do with us? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says spiritually that that blood is applied to your doorpost. Which means that every blessing of the blood over Israel in Exodus chapter 12 is the blessing of Jesus Christ over your life as a child of God who's been redeemed not with the blood of bull and goats, but by the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That means that when the enemy comes in to steal and to kill and to destroy, that the blood of Jesus testifies against him, saying, no, no, you have no right, you have no authority, this house belongs to me. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He purchased life, freedom, healing, provision. The Bible says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms through Jesus Christ. I want to ask the ushers to come this morning as we get ready for communion. It's a powerful thing that God told the Israelites after they left Egypt. There was only one Passover, but God said every year on the first month, on the 14th day, I want you to take a Passover meal to remember what I did for you. God commanded the Israelites. He said, don't forget. Do not forget the Passover lamb. Do not forget what I've done for you. And in the same way that God spoke to the Israelites, Jesus told his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. So this morning, as the ushers distribute the elements and we get ready to take communion, we're going to take time just to remember what Jesus has done for us. He is our Passover lamb. When we take communion, we just take a wafer and some grape juice. It's not supernatural, miraculous. Okay, I'm not selling it on Amazon for $500 a cup. It's just grape juice and it's a cracker. But it is symbolic of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to take the wafer and drink the cup as just a way of remembering what Jesus did for us. Ushers, if you'll serve the congregation, let's go ahead and prepare this morning. Come on, church, that's our theme song. In the blood of the Lamb. Oh, come on, sing it like you mean it this morning. Power, power, wonder-working power. Oh, come on, sing it one more time. In the blood power, oh wonder working power, oh come on, I can't stop that. There's power in the blood, so much power, and it's only in the blood of Jesus. This morning, as we take the wafer, let's remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Jesus' body was broken so that our bodies could be restored. And I know that there's debate in the body of Christ over healing, and I believe what the Bible says, that the Lord is my healer. But I'll be honest with you, every real child of God believes in healing. The disagreement is over whether God heals us now or in the life to come. But either way, we know that our God is a healing God. The Bible says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes, we are healed. Will you stand and let's take the bread this morning? The word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread. And when He had given thanks," let's just thank God for the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your body that You offered up for us. Lord, You suffered in Your body to set us free from our suffering. We thank You, Lord, for Your body. Lord, we thank You that it's because You offered up Your body as a sacrifice for us that we can be members of the body of Christ. And this morning as we take this wafer, Lord, we're reminded that we belong to a spiritual family. We belong to a spiritual household united by the body of Jesus. Let's take the bread and break it and eat it this morning in remembrance of Jesus. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Let's take the cup this morning. Listen, Jesus is our Passover lamb. This represents the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, there is blood on your doorposts. And in the blood of Jesus, you have life. You have freedom from bondage. You have physical healing. And you have provision. So whatever you need, I sense there are people in this room this morning, you have needs in those areas of your life. Whatever you need, receive it by faith this morning as we drink this cup. For the blood of Jesus has provided you life, freedom, healing, restoration, provision. Let's take the cup this morning as we remember the blood of Jesus shed for us. Now let's just lift our hands and just praise Him and worship Him for a moment. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, we thank You that You redeemed us. Jesus, we praise You. We thank You that there is blood on the doorposts, that You rebuke the destroyer. Jesus, we thank You. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for healing. Thank You for deliverance. Thank You for freedom. Thank You for provision. Thank You, God, that it's all under the blood. Oh, Jesus, we thank You. Oh, we worship You and praise You. We lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank You that Your blood will never lose its power. Oh, Jesus, we thank You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, we're going to take it back this morning. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is. Lord, I thank You that there is power in the blood of Jesus. I thank You, God, for life, for freedom, for healing, for deliverance, for provision. God, I thank You for meeting every need of the people this morning. And God, I commission them today to go out into the world, to go into their homes, to go into their neighborhoods, to go into their schools, to go into their workplaces. God, to be living witnesses that there is power in the blood of Jesus. And God, we thank You and give You praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Walk in the freedom that only comes from Jesus.